Get ready for the motivating mental mind shift you need to dominate a world full of mediocrity. It's time for Full Contact Life Podcast, hosted by best-selling author, speaker, and the mother switch on coach Arlo. It's time to take control of your life and get your switch on.
Hey, what's up? It's the Switch On Coach. Welcome to the Full Contact Life Podcast with me, the Switch On Coach. Glad to have you here. This is where we put all the BS aside. We get past all the politically correct nonsense and start talking straight talk. We live our best lives, take care of ourselves. So today, I'm super excited. A couple of things. One, we're about a week and a half away from the Power Up Summit here in Tampa, Florida. Still got one space available if you're interested in getting down. Check us out on www.switchoncoach.com. Or shoot me an email at askcoacharlo@gmail.com. Or you can even call us at 813-485-4388. We'll leave that information as well later on online so you guys can check that out. Second thing is we have the Drop 7 and 7 program. If you're looking to lose some weight, get back in shape, take advantage of drop7and7.com. Just go to drop7and7.com. It's totally free. Sign up. Drop 7 pounds in 7 days. Have our most recent client go from 272 down to 258. In the first 6 days. So it's an awesome program. It doesn't cost you a dime. Get it and pass it on to your friends. Now, the other reason I'm excited today is I get a chance to interview one of my favorite people. In the business that I'm in, I've been in sales and sometimes sales leadership probably since I was about 26 years old. And I've had a chance to be in front of a lot of speakers that have been incredible. They've done different things in different ways. And everybody has some value to it. This particular individual is one of my favorite because of the type of person that he is, in addition to the type of sales training that he does. He's a real straightforward guy just like me, kind of calls you out there on the carpet, asks you what's holding you back, and challenges you to do better. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Steve Wilmer. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent, man. I'm doing excellent. So tell me what's going on with you right now, man.
Well, first, let me just say that the switch on, man, that you guys doing it. I got an email from you. I got an email from you last week, and I was just thinking about it. I'm like, you know what, man, drop 7 pounds in 7 days. Normally, when I get those type of emails, I don't pay no attention to it. But the fact that I came down last year, had an opportunity to meet with you, spend some time with you, see what you guys are doing, I'm all ears. And so
you got a chance to before you saw before and after live though, didn't you?
Yeah. So I'm on board. So I just want to say I appreciate what you got going on.
Well, thank you very much, man. Switch On is really it's kind of what you do. I mean, it's really just about helping people understand the mindset they need to have to live the life they want to lead. The Drop 7-7 is kind of a real entry level way to just get you accustomed to it. You get to hear us talk a little bit, get some feedback, get some motivational stuff from us, get some insight. But the whole goal is just kind of get people kind of just take their first step in the water, dip your toe in the water, start to see what we can do for you and get started, man. So that's awesome. And yep. You were down here to see me because I was here to see you, right?
I had an opportunity to come down last week, do some sales training, do some speaking, motivation, training, education. You know, people say that they identify me as a motivational speaker, and I get where that comes from. But I always love to say, I want to do more than motivate you, because if you motivate a fool, all you have is a motivated fool, right?
Yes.
So I do want to motivate you guys, but I also want to give them the education, the tools that you got to have to be able to go out into the world, accomplish your dreams, accomplish your goals. And then something that really separates me from a lot of other speakers, Arlo, you know this about me, you said it when you were introducing me, is I will step right up to the front and challenge you to be able to go out and do the things that people say they want to do, because you said something that's very important. You said mindset. And here's the key. Here's what separates my training. Here's what separates, I would say, my company from a lot of other sales companies, is a lot of other sales companies will give you a word track. Got to have a word track. They'll give you a program. Got to have a program. They will give you, you know, different techniques you got to follow. Got to have different techniques. But the thing that none of those other platforms deal with is the mindset. And you know as well as I do, Arlo, if a person doesn't have the right mindset, it doesn't make a difference what type of training program you lay out for them. It's not going to work, right? Doesn't make a difference what you tell them to eat, if they don't have the right mindset, it's not going to work. So I deal with mindset before I get into any type of sales training.
And that's one of the reasons why I chose you to come speak to our audiences, because that's what Switch On is all about. It's about understanding there's a switch inside that can help you turn you to a fat burn machine, but also give you access to all that power you need to do some of the great things you want to do. And you're a guy like that who's out there preaching that same sermon, and you're out letting people know, hey, I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to show you how to do it. But I'm also going to help you get that internal thing you need to have to actually execute on the information I'm providing to you.
That's what it, and that's what it really is all about. So the absolute mindset to be able to do that.
So let's tell us a little bit about you, Steve. I've got a chance to see you a couple times. I know about you. You got a great family man. You got a military background. All these great things about you. But I like for our audience to also get a chance to hear more about you, because you're such a great guy, such a model citizen. I mean, it's kind of funny, but when you meet a guy who's as motivated as you are, as serious as you are about things you're serious about, but also with your kind of background. But you still, it's motivating, it's in your face, but it's super positive and uplifting. I mean, nobody feels like they're getting mistreated, but they do get challenged to be better. So tell us a little bit about you, like your background, where you're from, about your family, that kind of thing, and then we'll get into a little bit more about, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing now.
Absolutely. So every time I ask that question, tell me a little bit about you, the first thing I got to let people know is, above all, I'm a child of God, first and foremost.
Amen.
First and foremost, a child of God. Been married for 21 years, just celebrated 21 years. My wife, Erin, is a retired Navy chief. We've got 4 well-mannered children.
You have a choice, Steve.
Judah, Josiah, Joe, and Jaina. My wife is Navy. I'm Marine Corps. I spent 8 years in the Marine Corps. And so as you know, my background is from the Marine Corps. I was a law enforcement for 10 years. After law enforcement, believe it or not, I was a mailman for about 4 or 5 years. And then after that is where I got my start in sales. And I was a top producer in sales with State Farm Insurance for about 8 years before I launched my own company, Steve Speaks. And God is good, and I get to live my dream. I'm always talking to people about living your dream. If you don't live your dream, somebody else will hire you, you know, to help live theirs. And so I get to live my dream, travel around the country, speaking, teaching others, like you said earlier, motivating, educating, and challenging them. And there are only a few states that I have not been to. So if you're listening, if I haven't been to your state, make sure you reach out to Arlo, and I'd love to come out there and do some motivation and some training with you guys.
That's awesome. So, listen, I got a chance to meet you. I don't want State Farm Agency. This is a full disclosure. And I was at a meeting to get a chance to hear you. And then we went out to lunch as well with my team and got a chance to spend a little bit more time with you to get to know you a little bit better. And we've talked offline a few times just to kind of, you know, I'm hoping there's a mutual appreciation. I definitely appreciate you. So I'm hoping there's a mutual appreciation between the two of us, because I think so highly of you. And I got a chance to read your book. And I would like to just take a minute to talk about your book, and I want to get back to find out what it is you're doing right now, because I think people need to understand that what you're doing has gotten bigger than industry-specific. You're doing bigger things now. You're stepping out into some different territory. So I want to talk about that, but I'm going to come back to that if you don't mind. I want to talk a little bit about your book, because that's kind of what got me really interested in you. Even after I heard you speak, I bought 8 copies when I was there.
I remember.
Yeah, we had to sit down and we had to, it was like we were doing this deal in the middle of a meeting, and everybody else was talking to Steve there to make money. So he's like, "How many books do you need? We'll figure it out." Right? so the title of the book is "Nobody Cares." Right, work harder.
That's it. That's it.
Nobody cares. Work harder, which is awesome. I have a speech that I do called "So What." Right. You know,
that's right.
Tell me what your problem is. It's so what. Nobody else cares about it. So tell us about your book and about your message within that book about people who are struggling to get to the next level.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. So the title, as you said, Nobody Cares, Work Harder, it's actually my third book. I've written 4, and that's my third book, but I got to say it's my absolute favorite book because it deals with the things that you and I are talking about, and it also deals with a lot of stuff that you and your company, Switch On, is dealing with. So before I go into the book, I want to tell you where the premises comes from, the title, because there have been a few people that says, what do you mean nobody cares? I care, or my wife cares, or my kid, and I get that. But let me just give you the backdrop for those listeners about Nobody Cares, Work Harder. So as you heard me say, I was a mailman for about 4 years before I actually got into sales with State Farm. And so I'm out delivering mail one day, and I get a phone call, and it said, hey, your son Reginald, at the time my son Reginald was 16 years old, said, hey, your son Reginald, he's at the hospital. He's not feeling well. You need to get to the hospital right now. And, of course, I went back to the office, dropped my mail off. By the time I got to the hospital, my 6-year-old son had passed away. All right? And, of course, no parent, I don't believe any parent thinks about having to bury a child. We always think about our children burying us. Definitely. So think about this. My 16-year-old son just passed away unexpectedly. Unexpectedly. He wasn't sick for months or anything like that. Unexpectedly. And so we're all devastated. And then here's what happened. I didn't go to work, right, because I'm off.
Yeah.
So I'm off for 30 days, didn't go to work. We're devastated. And I can remember calling my mortgage company saying, hey, you know what, you know, my son just passed away. You know, we're, you know, things are kind of upside down, and I just need to know if I can get an extension, you know, on my mortgage payment. I can't pay my mortgage on time on the first of the month. And the lady on the phone said, I am so, so sorry to hear about your son, but your mortgage payment is still due.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Listen.
Your mortgage payment is still due. My light bill, Arlo, was still due. My water bill was still due. My car note was still due. The world did not stop turning. And so the problem is this. All of us, not just me, all of us have bad things happen to us. All of us have sometimes life-shattering things to happen to us. And the problem is this. We sit down, we whine, we cry, and we say, woe is me. That is not the time to say, woe is me. That is time to dig in, because the truth of the fact is this. Nobody cares. You've got to work harder. So the very first chapter in that book is titled, I Don't Want to Hear It.
Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you what's interesting about this, right? All of us grow up, and you. Let me ask you this question. Did you get your grit from the military, or was it something that came from home?
You know, it started from home. You know my background, growing up in a project, mm-hmm. right, with just a single mom. And so mom didn't play. Mom didn't take no mess. And one of the things I said, when I got to the Marine Corps and I had the drill instructor yelling in my face, I was going, please. And all you got, Norma Jean is louder than you. You know what I mean?
It's funny you mention that, because I had that conversation with people all the time. You know, I played football in high school, and I would get home from a game, and my dad was like, hey, man, that grass, they're waiting on you.
And
we talk about all this, you know, we were talking in the car about, I did this, you did this well, you did, you know, you're going back and forth. But as soon as we got home, we said, hey, that grass, waiting on you.
That's
you know?
Right.
And
that's
he didn't want to hear it. That was a different, that generation, they just don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear it. So I deal with excuses in the very first chapter. And here's something mm-hmm. else. I told you I got four kids. From Judah all the way down to Jaina. Judah's mm-hmm. the oldest right now, so I have a 17-year-old. I have another 60-year-old son. His name is Josiah, and I got Joe and Jaina. And any time they come up with an excuse, Arlo, I don't care what it is, an excuse, I say, what? Is that an excuse? Let me hear it. Let me hear it. And from my oldest son down to my youngest daughter will tell you our quote in our house. And here it is. Excuses are the tools of the incompetent, used to build monuments of nothingness, and those who specialize in the frequent use of them seldom succeed at anything else. Therefore, I have no excuses.
I'm going to tell you what, when I was pledging my paternity, we had to learn that very same phrase, a little bit differently, but it's the same premise behind it. Excuses are monuments of nothingness. They build bridges that lead to nowhere. Those who use these tools of incompetence are masters of nothingness.
And that's
you
what
see
I'm
it, you see
about.
It's ingrained, right? You see it's ingrained.
Yes,
it's ingrained,
man. Because if you make excuses, you just make excuses. And the thing is this: what took me from being an average salesperson to a top salesperson and traveling the country is everything that people that are listeners are hearing is I went through it. I don't want anybody to think that I was born this way. I don't want anybody to think that I'm just so much better. It's just simply I made a decision. I was an average salesperson, and I made a decision to stop making excuses, develop my skill set. And here's what I found, Arlo. When I lost all of my excuses, I found all of my results. You can make excuses or you can make money, but you can't do both.
Listen, I have a theory behind this, and I like the way you present it, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted you on this podcast to show with our listeners. It's like anything else, man. You can't have two things that are important to you, that are most important to you. You can't have two number one priorities. It's just impossible. Your number one priority is your number one priority. I met with my team a couple of days ago. We had to have a conversation. I said, we went through Frank McCulley's time quadrant. Talking about what's urgent, what's important, and how to sit down and really think about what's important to you. What's important to you that loses value over time? And why is that not the first thing and only thing you're working on until it's done? And then you work on everything else. And it's interesting because, especially salespeople, right, in the world that we're in where it's administrative sales, where people are doing a lot of transactions and do a lot of paperwork along with the sales, it's really easy to get caught up in being busy. I believe it's the minister Charles Spurgeon that said, busyness is moral laziness.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And if you look at what you're doing as a stewardship, well, like you, I mean, I've heard you speak, and everybody has not. If you ever heard Steve speak, listen to me, you missed out. I'm just going to tell you that way. I've heard a lot of great, you're missing out, all right? It may not have been a big venue. We're at a restaurant, banquet room.
Yep.
But I'm telling you right now, the time is coming. This man is going to be on a larger stage. It's going to be harder to hear him in person, harder to see him in person. You need to get on this right away because what he's saying and how he brings it to light is so impactful. I've watched rooms of people go from, you know, from casualties to converts in a very short amount of time. I mean, a room full of beat down people change their whole tune and decide and realize, hey, this is what we need to have. And what I say is every time you're close to me, I get you over, get people over there to see you because I want anybody that's around me to be close to that so they can see and feel it and be a part of it. But I think that people need to really understand that we have a stewardship role in whatever it is God has asked you to do.
Right.
Whatever your talent is stewardship. You have a moral obligation to do the best you can. And I think that you make it quite evident when you speak that if you don't do those things, you start using excuses as opposed to focusing on what's really important and getting, you know, really, instead of just talking about their dream, doing something about it.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's what makes the difference. I think when you say you made a decision, I think, yeah, you made a decision, but you also took some action.
Yep, massive action, Tony.
You took some massive action.
Tony Robbins, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, I want you to finish this, and we'll talk about Steve's speech. I need people to understand what they're coming to see you. Why are they coming to see you? And what they should expect to see when they come to see Steve speak.
Well, let me address something you said, man.
Yeah.
You are hitting every nail on the head. This is something that people need to hear. You talked about, you know, following their dreams. And so what I'm always telling people, of course, depending on the venue, is you have everybody, God put on the inside of each and every one of us a gift. So anytime I'm speaking, I'm talking about following your dreams. I say, follow your dreams, they know the way, right? I say, what is your gift? Everybody has a gift. Regardless if you think if you have one or not, I promise you, you have a gift. Because God doesn't make junk. And the word says he's not a respecter of person. So when he put something on the side of me, he put on the inside of Arlo. He put the same thing on the inside of your listeners as well. And so I'm always telling people, find your gift, because when you operate in your gift will make room for you. You see, I'm operating in my gift, and so it's not even like I'm working. The reason that God has brought me to where I am, the reason that I'm having the type of success I'm having right now is because I'm operating in my gift. That's why I'm never frustrated when I'm out speaking. Now, me traveling across the country, that's frustrating, right? from plane to plane, hotel to hotel, those things are frustrating. But once I get to where God has ordained me and I'm up in front of that crowd, man, I promise you I'm operating in my gift. And anytime people are not operating in their gift, that's when they're upset. That's when they're frustrated. That's when they hate their job. That's when they really don't like what they're doing. When you're not operating your gift, for your listeners out there, it is a strain on your body and on your mind. So you've got to operate your gift.
I'm sorry, I got to ask you something, Steve, about that.
Yes, sir.
Because that's one of those things that comes up all the time. Right? It comes up all the time. I think right now the biggest challenge we face from just the media today and just the conversation that goes on socially is the value of the gift. See, some people don't think they have a gift because it doesn't, in the way other people do it, maybe, doesn't seem to have any value. Like you clean up, for instance. So you say somebody likes to have everything really neat and clean. And somebody says, well, yeah, you'd be a great janitor. It's like, who wants to be a janitor? Right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
If that's your gift, what people don't understand that you talk about is when you're working in your gift, it doesn't make a difference how small the skill is.
Right.
If it's your gift.
Right.
Because it will bring you what you truly desire in your heart.
Yes, absolutely. And so when we talk about operating our gift, it doesn't necessarily mean you being a, you know, being a speaker. And again, operating your gift is the gift that God gave you. Right? A lot of people, here's what I mean. A lot of people, and I used to think this as well, a lot of people talk about passion.
Right.
Let me give you an example of what I mean. Some people say, you know what, my passion is this, my passion is that. And I was watching E.T., Eric Thomas.
Right.
I hope you guys know who E.T. is, right?
Yes.
And so E.T. was trying to have this conversation with a guy, and then he asked the guy, said, what's your gift? And the guy said, well, my passion is playing basketball. I love to play basketball. He said, yeah, right, but what's your gift? He said, well, I don't know. It's my passion. He said, okay, let me ask you this. He said, your passion is to play basketball, right? Yep, you love to play basketball? Absolutely, I love it. He says, are you really good at it? And he was like, well, I'm kind of good at it. Well, if you were really good, you'd be in the NBA, wouldn't you? Yeah, I guess I would. So you're not in the NBA. So your passion is not your gift. You got a passion to do things out there, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's your gift. And so people are operating out of their passion and not operating out of their gift. Here's the easiest and the best definition, because people always ask me, well, Steve, how do I find my gift? I'll tell you how, but here's the best way, the best definition I heard about trying to find what your gift is. When what you do is easy to you but amazing to everyone else, that's your gift.
Wait a minute, say that one more time for them.
Oh, absolutely. I hope, and for your listeners, I hope they write that down. I hope you write this down. There you go.
And matter of fact, hey, when we post this on the blog, that's going to be the title. You and I are going to get together. Make sure we get together and talk. Well, sure, we get together and talk. Everybody hear me saying it now. Blogs will be on Medium, but we're going to get together and talk. And you and I are going to put that blog post together about that gift and make sure we put it along with this, with link to this podcast, so people can go and check that out. Because I think what you're saying is really important. Would you mind saying this one more time for the people in the back? You know,
absolutely.
For the slow listeners.
I got it. So how do you find your gift? It's as simple as this. When what you do comes easy to you but is amazing to everyone else, that's your gift. See, Arlo, God has blessed me. I can stand on a stage. I was in the biggest stage I've been on. I spoke in Las Vegas on 9/11 a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right, at Bally's Casino.
Okay.
Right, thousands of people in the audience. Now, you put the average person on that stage, they would freeze up, right?
It's the number one fear.
Man, they would freeze up.
They didn't ask enough people to look in the hood.
I've heard that people would rather die than speak.
They didn't ask the right people.
They didn't
ask the right people, Steve. I agree with you. I was a speech communication major in college, so I kind of take it. Was always funny when I heard that. Like, what are you talking about? But
yeah.
You know, when you finally get a chance to talk to some people, you realize, man, just reading out loud in the classroom for some people was just devastating.
It's just devastating to them. But to me, Arlo, man, I came alive. You put me in front of a crowd, I come alive. And when I finish, accolades, standing ovations, oh, my God, that was amazing. And I promise you, in my mind, I'm going, really? That was fun. That was simple. That was easy to do. So I have no doubt. I have no doubt that I'm operating in my gift.
Let's back up a little bit, right? Because I don't want people to think that you just walked on stage and started talking. You know?
No, you mean like how I got there?
I want people to understand that, you know, when you're in your gift, I want people, because I have a lot of athletes I interact with too, right? And I have to tell you, you have to love the work.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. Using your gift gives you the energy and do the work to get to use your gift again.
Yep.
If you have a passion for something, it doesn't necessarily encourage you to do the work. The goals are different. Passions are things you do for fun and enjoyment. Right? You do them to feel good.
Right.
The other way around, your gift is not like that. Your gift makes you feel good when you give it away.
Oh, man. Now that's the truth. You said a mouthful there, because what I believe is this, and some people believe it, some people don't. I believe that our gift is given to us by God,
mm-hmm.
but it's not for our benefit.
Let me say this. It may not, I won't say not for our benefit, not just maybe not for your pleasure and enjoyment. Mm-hmm. It wasn't meant to be, I'm going to step on that.
It's meant to give away.
I just don't want people to feel like it wasn't meant to make you rich. It wasn't meant to you know, give you some lifestyle of rich and famous. It was a gift you were given to activate what was in you to help other people.
Right, right.
So,
and yeah, you're absolutely right. So God gives you the gift for you to go out there and be able to help other people, empower other people. So my gift, I can just talk about my gift. Help people, empower people, encourage people, let people know about life. I mean, just let them know that they can be so much bigger, so much further than where they are today if they would just do these steps. And so I give the gift away, what God put on the inside of me. And while I'm doing what he's calling me to do and encouraging others, now I'm also able to earn a nice income operating.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you and I talked about this, you had already been in the middle of doing this for a while, and you and I talked about it, I guess halfway away from where you are now, right? The first time we met?
Yep.
And you were working inside of another organization, and now you kind of come out of your own.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so people are getting a chance to see you in a broader scope, because most of the people that saw you before were seeing you inside of one industry.
Right, right.
And now you're feeding the masses.
Yeah.
And people get a chance to see you and hear from you. They don't necessarily have to glean on your career success in the insurance industry to listen to what it is you have to say.
No. I spoke to, I don't know if you guys know who Cox Communication is.
Yes.
They're big from Florida all the way over. They're based out of Vegas. So Cox has hired me. I came in, I spoke for Cox. Chick-fil-A has hired me. I spoke for Chick-fil-A. Next, speaking at the University of Texas.
Nice.
In Texas. I've spoken to the colleges. I've spoken to two colleges here in Pensacola. So when people say, well, who would want to hire Steve? If you have an organization and you have employees and you're looking to encourage your employees, and then they have to be about training. Training, that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer if you want your employees trained, right? But if you're looking to encourage your employees, motivate the employees, you know, help build on some of the things that you're already talking to your employees about, then I'm the person to bring in. And because what I always tell people is this, it's not necessarily that your employees are going to hear something new. And here's what I mean by that. Joe Montana, all right, arguably, mm-hmm. history, even Ben Brady, some people say, right? Joe Montana was teaching his son how to play quarterback. His son says to Joe, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. The high school coach says you do this. High school coach says do that. This is Joe Montana.
Listen,
we've
all done it.
right. His own son wouldn't listen to him. He was taking advice from the high school coach, and he would come home and say, you know, Dad, coach said do this, do that. Joe was like, I've been telling you to do the same thing forever. Why are you not listening to me? So bring me in. I can talk to your employees probably about some of the same things you've been talking to them about, but because it's come from a different person, they're more open to it.
I tell people this all the time. Jesus couldn't preach at home.
There you go.
When Jesus went home to preach, they said, hey, aren't you that carpenter's son?
Ain't that Joseph Mary's boy?
Aren't you the little boy used to run around here? Well, you don't know what you're talking about. Go sit over there and watch.
Go sit down.
Go sit down somewhere. And that truly happens. So listen, I mean, when she speaks the truth, if you're a leader in some way, leader in sales or leading an organization anywhere, and you need somebody that really can come in to motivate your people. And when I say motivation, I don't want to get confused here, guys. I'm not talking about making you feel good about doing something. I'm talking about making you feel like you got to go do something. You understand the difference?
Yeah.
Like, it's the motive for action, right? Steve is going to speak to you. Right? And I love the title of your organization, Steve Speaks. I think people need to understand, how can you learn without hearing, right? Right. And how can they hear without somebody speaking? Right? That's what the word says, right? So that being the case, this is somebody coming out, pouring into your people, right? And what he's pouring into them is a motive for action.
Yeah.
It's going to be what gets them up to move. You can give them a skill. You probably know what they need to do and how they need to do it. You probably have the way you want it done, the reports you want filled out, the scripts you want them to use, and that stuff is awesome. But if you can't get that thing inside them, that motive for action, you just got a bunch of educated hanger-oners, you know, a bunch of overpaid friends, so to speak. And being in leadership and managing salespeople, managing organizations for the last 20 years or so, one of the most frustrating things in the world when you're one of those kind of managers that pours into your people is when they don't pour anything back out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I call it the leaky bucket syndrome. You can turn that faucet all as high as you want to.
Mm-hmm.
If the guy you work, if somebody's coming up drilling holes at the bottom of your bucket, the speed of the water coming in won't fill the bucket up.
That's why I always say, beware of the people who are in your boat, but they're also drilling holes, right? Everybody who's is in your circle is not in your corner.
Listen, you've been in the military. And I've been in team sports, and I'm coaching my son's youth team right now. One of the things I have them do when we all get together is I have them look at each other, look at the guy next to us, and say, "Hey, you can count on me." And I have them look at the other side, look at that guy, and tell him, "You can count on me."
Right.
I'm trying to build that accountability into them, because being somebody can trust and count on, it's a really important thing. And unless you've been in that situation, it's hard to understand it. But the reason why most people run from it is because nobody's ever poured into them that thing that Steve pours into you, which is that motive for action. He's going to remind you that it's not your gift to hide. It's your gift to give and use, because it wasn't meant for you, so to speak. So the people that need to get paid off your gift, that need to get delivered from your gift, they need you to go out and use it. If you can cook, go cook. If you can cook, go cook. Feed people. If you can teach, go teach. You run fast, run fast. You know,
although this is so important, this is so, so important, and it's so, so needed. I'll give the example is I got a really good friend of mine. His name is Irvin.
Mm-hmm.
And Irvin, you want to talk about gifts? His gift is administration. Man, when I tell you that anything that has to do with administration, he is on it. You have me do anything administration, I don't care how simple it is, my head hurts. Right? So that's his gift. He keeps things so organized. I got a friend of mine, her name is Darlene. Mm-hmm. She makes baskets. Now, when I tell you that, think about it. In your industry and in my industry, I've seen a lot of gift baskets. What about you?
I've seen a ton.
All right. We all seen a ton of gift baskets. When I tell you that no one, and I mean no one, can make a gift basket like her, but that's, you see what I mean? That's her gift to her. It's so easy. I got a friend named Jade who can walk into any house and start decorating the house. Like, you just need to be moved here, put this over here, we need to buy this. This is going. She has a vision that you just would not believe. And I got one last example. I got a friend of mine. His name is Thomas. Every man, I don't care what man, and I hope there's some men listening right now, because everybody's going to say, yep, that's me. Every man thinks they're the king of barbecue. Every man. Right? They got a grill, they're the king of barbecue.
At least for that day.
At least that day. So here's the thing. Every man who says that, I said, okay, well, let me give you some of Thomas' barbecue. And every last one of them has bowed their head and said, okay, he got me. He got me. Thomas is the number one. He's the number one in barbecue, right?
I'm getting a little disappointed, though, because I've never had a Thomas's barbecue. So I'm about to figure
you got to get some, but that's his gift. And I said all that to say this. Guess what?
What's up?
None of them are operating in their gift.
Wow.
None of them are operating in their gift.
Mm.
They all have another job, and these things they do every now and again. They do part-time. They make a little money here. They make a little money there. But if they were operating in their gift, they would be doing it full-time. They would be blessing other people, helping other people, providing a service, and being well paid for it. So it's just about having that gift. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Wait a minute. Listen, I know we're running long here, but we got to stop, man, for just a second. So I want to be clear here with people. What Steve is talking about, we started off talking about the difference between a passion and a gift. And the problem is, if you start treating your gifts like a passion and your passion like a gift, you're going to be tired, frustrated, and probably broke.
Yes.
Let me say that one more time. When you treat your gift like a passion and your passion like a gift, you're going to be tired, frustrated, and probably broke. And I'll tell you how I learned this, because I want to make sure you finish that this out. But when I was 18 years old, I was trying to decide what sport to play in college. And my dad and I were having this conversation, and we didn't talk a lot about my future in athletics very much, even in education. My dad he wasn't that kind of guy. He felt like he raised you to be an adult to make your decisions. And he was an independent thinker. He thought he should be him telling you what to do wasn't a part of the strategy. But this one particular time, now, learning what you need to learn was one thing. Now, you didn't learn how to cook, clean up, take care of yourself. Those things were mandatory survival skills. But this was something different. This was a conversation after a basketball game where the night before I played very well. The next night I played like I'd never seen a basketball game before, let alone played in one. And he wasn't at the first game, but he definitely was at that second one. And he had some opinions he wanted to share. So he waited for me to come home at the bottom of the stairs. My dad used to smoke, right? So my dad stayed at the bottom of the stairs, like right at the bottom of the stairs. Like right at the bottom, smoking a cigarette.
Man.
It's like on the stairs, going down the steps, it's dark. But where he is, it's lit up. It's like a movie.
Right,
like
right.
I'm going to go into a gunfight. And my mom says, hey, your dad wants to talk to you downstairs. He said, come on down there. And he used some different words, like, I went downstairs. So I get downstairs, and he walks literally about 3 inches from my face and says, hey, now let me back up a little. I'm 210 pounds as a senior in high school. My dad weighed 155 pounds. He's about an inch taller than me. So he's standing in front of me with his cigarette in his hand and says, hey, you need to quit playing basketball because you ain't never going to be shit.
Wow.
Now listen, this almost turned into a fist fight. Because basketball is what I love, man. Mm. I mean, I would go out and take the extra shots. I would come up early. Somebody would teach me something. I'd drive across town. I couldn't wait to get 16 because any time I was in the car riding and I saw a basketball hoop up somewhere, I wanted to get out and play.
Right.
I mean, my parents shopped for a house once when I was younger and they were looking for houses. And all I was looking at was counting how many people had backboards up on their garage.
Right, right.
I grew up in the hood and we played on, you know, milk cartons. In the career, yeah. You know, so it was playing recreational basketball at home was tough. If you had a hoop up, it didn't stay up there long, right?
Right.
So it's funny because he's having this conversation with me, and I'm angry. I mean, I'm angry, like, you know, you're 18 years old, full of testosterone, you finally got bigger than your dad, and you're thinking you could take him, but I had seen enough to know I couldn't. At least I shouldn't, if nothing else, right? And he said, listen, man, before you get mad. He said, when you play basketball, you play for fun. You love it. He said, I like to watch you play because I know how much you love playing. He said, but you can't feed your family on what you love.
Wow.
He said, when you play football, he goes, old lady can come out of those crutches. You a hitter. If she inside me white lies, he said, you a hitter. You a hitter. He said, I know what you can do on a football field. You need to start playing, put your mind behind football, put everything behind, all this effort you put in behind basketball, you need to put it behind football and see where it takes you.
Wow.
And it was a tough conversation to hear, but a few months later, I was off the basketball team.
Wow.
And that changed everything for me because I learned how to work playing basketball because I was seeking out all this help and everything. But then I started applying it to my gift. And it led me to some other gifts, obviously, that really helped change my life. But had he not had that conversation with me, it was my first time getting addressed with that passion gift thing that you talk about. And that's why when I hear you speak about it, it resonates with me because I think most people have had a situation where they've had to make a choice.
Yeah.
And usually us take the safe bet. So
that's
if you don't mind, just tell people a little bit about why. Why they take the safe bet? What causes that to happen?
It's easy, man. It's fear. It's fear.
Yeah.
Fear kills more dreams than failure ever will. So the reason people won't step forward and start to really operate in their gift is because of fear. You know, they say that fear has two meanings, right? Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. The choice is ours. So a lot of people will try to train people to get over fear, to conquer fear. And my mindset, Arlo, again, go back to mindset because you mentioned it at the very beginning. My mindset is totally different. I don't teach people to get over fear. I believe that it's impossible to conquer fear. And here's what I mean by that. If you're in a situation where you're afraid, you can self-talk all you want. You can say, I'm not afraid. But I promise you, if you're afraid, your heart's going to continue to beat right fast. Your palms are going to be sweating. You're going to be sweating under your arms, you know, your forehead. And so what happens is that doesn't work because your mouth is saying, I'm not afraid. Your brain may be saying, I'm not afraid. But your body's going, yeah, you definitely afraid.
Because when you're ready to move, your body's still thinking the same thing it was thinking before you started talking.
That's it. So here's what I teach.
Yes, sir.
I teach to acknowledge fear.
Yes.
And here's what I mean. So when I'm afraid to do something, and now trust me, there are times I'm afraid, I acknowledge fear. When I acknowledge fear, I start to calm down. So I say this, man, you're absolutely right, fear. I'm afraid. Boy, I am terrified out of my mind. Sweating, heart beating, you got me. I'm afraid. But even though I'm afraid, I'm going to do it scared. You see, I don't try to do stuff not being afraid. I do stuff scared.
What do we know about fear?
I'm gonna do it scared.
What do we know about fear, though? What do we know about fear?
What do we know? You know, somebody said once, it's really not fear. It's, you know, it's like the fear of the unknown. It really is. It's fear of the unknown. It's fear about, you know, what's going to happen. There's faith and fear.
Best.
Believe it or not, requires no evidence.
So hold on a second, all right? Let's because I'm glad you brought that up because I want to make sure we brought that into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is the only antidote for fear.
Yep, you got to have faith.
Because faith is what you believe. Now, I think when you say fear is something that's why I was saying God didn't give us the spirit of fear.
Right.
So we know fear is something that is a lack of awareness or lack of faith in the things outside of us that causes us to distrust what's inside of us.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right? And the problem is that you put your faith in things outside of you in the first place. So when those things start to not look what you want them to look, it makes you start to question that stuff that's put inside. And that's where the problem comes in. When you say you face fear, you say, hey, fear, I see you out there doing your thing.
Yep.
And fear coming to work every day.
Absolutely.
Never take a day off. I see
it's
you over there.
There.
I see you
it's
over there. It's like a bully at school, right? But I believe that even though you're over there, I can still get in that classroom and get my homework done. I can still walk past you, bully, and I can still graduate from school. I can still get whatever thing you need. I see you over there, fear. Trying to
and
stop
so
me from going to answer that man for that business. So I'm going to walk over there anyway.
That's the right mindset. because if people that are listening, if you're listening right now, my challenge to you or my encouragement to you would be stop trying to get rid of fear. Like Arlo says, it's always going to be there. And if you keep trying to get rid of fear, when it shows up, it paralyzes you. I don't try to get rid of fear. I'm like this. You know what, fear? You're going to always be there. No matter what I do, no matter what I say, you're going to be there. All right, so there you go. There's your chair. Come on.
Yeah.
Like you said, ask this person for this business, right? Well, fear, you here. I'm here. But come on, come with me. I'm going to go ask this man for this business. Let's go. Hey, fear, you're here. I'm here. Right? I'm going to go start my own business. Come on. No matter what I say, you're going to come. So come on, let's go.
Hey, listen, here's the funny thing about this, right? I think the more you acknowledge fear, to your point, the less power that it has.
Thank you. It takes away the power. Because fear is like this. Ooh, I'm right here. Ah, what you going to do? Some people are trying to get scared, trying to run away from fear. I'm like, I see you right there. I got a seat for you. Let's go. Come on.
If you're a salesperson, you got to move around during the day. I'm going to give you this exercise. When you get in the car, I want you to get 2 water bottles and put them in your cup holders. Or get 2 cups of coffee, whatever it is you drink. Put one in for yourself and one in there for fear. Reach across, put the seatbelt down, and buckle it in. You may fear. I want to make sure you got a safe ride.
Yeah.
Because when I get out this car and get ready to sail, I'm going to be beating you up pretty bad. So at least make sure you get there so everybody knows you didn't get hurt in the car.
Man,
you got hurt in the competition.
Do it scared. Write it down. If you're listening, write it down somewhere. Write that down somewhere. Do it scared. Do it scared. Don't try to get over fear. Do it scared.
I'm going to tell you interesting thing is that I really, really hope people take the opportunity to grab your books. If you have an opportunity to hire a speaker to come in and they bring you to come in, that people get a chance to find out where you are, research you, and understand who you are, because I don't know that there's a lot of people with your voice. And that's the thing I think people didn't understand, is that it's not just a guy that's speaking. I mean, there's a lot of great guys out there speaking. You mentioned them earlier, this guy's like Tony Robbins. They're out doing their thing. And it's not taking anything away from them, right? We're never going to do that. We're talking about this voice is different, and I wanted them on the show specifically because it was different. And the Full Contact Life podcast is more about facing things, about being up front. Understand that there's a whole lot of people that are going to be saying exactly the opposite of what Steve's talking about today. Mm. I mean, right now today, we live in an era where people who have never wanted to be victims have chosen to be victims. They've actually started organizations to be victims together with other victims. I mean, think about it. Today, there are more people identified by illnesses, by situations, and by histories, if you will, or behavior. We just categorize people now more so by the things that are wrong with them or have gone wrong with them, the way they mentioned it, the way they talk about it, the way they describe it, the way they feel it. Right? I'm not gonna say it wasn't bad, because I think that I don't want to diminish what happened to people, because people go through some tough things. When you start to align yourself with others who have gone through those things, not under the auspices of championing yourself to be bigger than the thing that happened to you, you run the risk of becoming a victim over and over again.
Wow.
And we all know that victims, people settle into being a victim, they just outlook of other victims.
Yeah.
There's only 2 types of people like that. Either going out to be to take what happened to you and do it to somebody else, because hurt people hurt people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or are you going out to collect with a bunch of other victims so you can feel good about feeling bad?
Yeah, some people live for that. You see them all over social media, man.
Oh, yeah.
You see them all over social media. And again, we're not saying that bad things don't happen to people. We know that.
But things happen to people.
There you go. Things happen to people. But there are some people, man, who live for that. They want that sympathy. They want that, look at me, woe is me. You know, they want that. I see it over social media all the time. All the time.
And here's the thing. Guys like you, who grew up with moms like you grew up with, and situations like the one you're in, and going through some of the other tragedies in life that you'd have to go through and overcome, you have never had anyone allow you or accept you as a victim.
Oh, no. You know why I'm not a victim? Because the word says I'm not a victim. The word says that I'm more than a conqueror, that I'm a world overcomer. So when you start to believe what God says about you and not what people say about you, and that people include yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
then that's when you truly start to walk, you know, in the power that you have.
So you said it, right? We are more than conquerors.
Yep.
Okay, now, here's the funny thing, right? How can you be more than a conqueror?
I know, right? that means you really bad.
I see it this way, right? I see that even when you win and you beat somebody or beat the situation, you make it better because you did it.
Yeah.
You may not be the only person that overcome that situation, but when you do it, it's not just a victory for you. It's a victory for other people as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, to me, is, I believe, is a difference. When I hear that scripture, you are more than a conqueror, that's the part that speaks to me, is that, man, this is not going to just be good for me. This is going to make a difference for a lot of people. I have to walk in this victory. I have to be bigger than this situation, because there are other people that need this to happen.
Yeah, other people are counting on me, right? There are people out there that only you will be able to touch, that only you will be able to, you know, to move, to inspire. That's why switch on is so important. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I hear switch on, here's what comes to my mind. Here's what it means to me. Think about a light switch.
Mm-hmm.
The light switch already has electricity on the inside of it.
Yes, sir.
The electricity is already there. You're not creating electricity. It's already there. It's laying dormant. When you take that light switch and switch it on, what's already on the inside of it comes alive. That's why switch on is so important.
That's it. That is the switch on in a nutshell. I'm not creating anything inside of you. I'm just giving you access to what's already in there.
Yep. It's already there. And so people just got to be able to realize that it's already there.
That's why we say plug in, power up, and switch on. Get connected to the source. I mean, the first thing I do is get connected. So I don't care how it is, man. And that's what in the exit promo, everybody's going to hear it. Get plugged in. Jump on the podcast. Jump on the blog. Go to the website. Look at Instagram, Facebook, whatever you like. Get plugged into us, and then power up. Start engaging. Take advantage of some of the programs we got. Just get you started. Just take a little taste. We got things you can get started on for free. Just try it a little bit.
Yep.
But then when you're ready, when you're really ready, let's get your switch on. Listen, if you've been, okay, how dark the room is, a little bit of light changes everything. Man, I appreciate you so much being here, man. Thank you so much. And before we go, I want to make sure everybody understands. I want to take your time doing this, please. I know we spent a lot of time on this call, but please tell us how we can reach you, where we can hear you. You know, let us know what books you wrote we can read. Let everybody know how they can get more of Steve Speaks.
Well, all about Amazon, but I would absolutely prefer if you guys just go to my website. Real simple. Steve.
Hold on, Steve. I think we lost you there for a second. Back up. I think we might have lost you for a second there.
Yep. I said you can get my books from Amazon, but I would prefer you get them from my website, which is stevewilmer.com, WILMER.com. All of my contact information is on there. You can fill out a form, and then that way you can have reach out to me, and I can contact you to have me come to your area and speak to your people as well. So stevewilmer.com, all the books are on there, the programs are on there. I'm really excited about it. Anything I can do to help, just reach out to me and let me know. And thank you, man, for this opportunity.
I'm a poster. Listen, Steve, it was a blessing for me for you to use your gift on our podcast, man. I can't tell you how much I got from it. I hope everybody else got as much as I did. If you got half what I got, you're doing all right today. but I want everybody to understand something. I'm going to post this information as well on our everywhere we got. You can understand how to reach out to Steve as well. I'm an advocate for this guy. You know, I would go out and speak, and I do that kind of stuff as well. But hey, listen, where he leads you, he also feeds you. I think we, you know, me and I bet for a reason. I'm never going to believe. I think the season was right. Everything was where it was supposed to be. So I want to make sure people know how to get in contact with Steve Wilmer, because I'm telling you right now, if you haven't heard him speak, you're missing out. If you haven't read the book, you're missing out. If you haven't taken a chance to get connected with this guy, you are missing out. You're not getting the most that's available to you, because I've heard them all. I've seen them all. I've talked to them. This is different. I don't forget what you heard. Just listen to me today. This is different. All right? So check Steve Speaks out. SteveWilmer.com. That's Steve Wilmer, WILMER.com. Check him out. Go to the site. Buy the books. Check out the blog. Check out everything he's got to offer. If you, like you said before, if you're in town, somewhere you want to hear him speak, reach out to him. He's a very amenable guy, good dude. Never going to make you feel bad. Nobody's ever going to come out of one of these speeches feeling beat up or bruised up or nothing. Everybody walks out with the same idea. You may not want to do it, but you know it works. That's the one thing I can tell you. So listen, before we get out of here, I'm going to let everybody know one last thing. We got these programs I want you to take advantage of. How you going to plug in? Drop 7 and 7 program, www.drop7.com. You just go to drop7.com and you'll get there. Check out drop7.com. That is going to get you access to Switch On in a very, 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 very inexpensive way, because it's free. So jump in, try to program out. Like I said, we got people losing well over 7 pounds in 7 days. It's a real easy thing to do. You eat real food, no crazy shakes, no running around working out, not sweating in front of the TV set. Just simple stuff you can follow to help you get yourself started in the weight loss program. If you're in that program, we're going to get you started with something else that's coming. I'm not going to tell you what it's probably going to we'll launch it out probably next week. But you're going to hear more about the next challenge we got available for you. I didn't want to say too much. Those of you who have the ability, in the 6th, 7th, and 8th of September, we're having our Power Up Summit here in Tampa, Florida. We're bringing in a small group for a master class to get some real in-depth time to help you find your switch, get you on the right path to kickstart you reaching out and taking advantage of, like Steve says, your gifts. So we'll help you get your switch on in a very different kind of way. It's a very intimate setting. We're going to have dinner on Friday night. Get together for a day and a half, get you back on the road with some real powerful tools and resources to help you be super successful. So before we leave, I just want to thank you all for listening. Remember, God, we love you, but God loves you best. Remember, Steve worked out of Steve, buy the friggin' books. Reach out to this dude. You got to check him out, man. He is just an awesome dude. I'm so glad you're here, Steve. Anything you want to say before we go?
I just want to say thank you for this opportunity, Arlo. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate the gift that's on the inside of you that you're using to bless others. And I just love I love you guys. Make sure you get with this. It's a great program. Switch on, baby. Switch on.
Hey, listen, if you don't know what to do, don't know what else to do, I tell people all the time, if you're confused, you're just trying to figure, you're throwing your hands up because you don't know what to do, just plug in, power up. And switch on.
And switch on.
Thank y'all very much, man. See you later, Steve. Thanks again, buddy.
Thank you, Arlo.
All right. Goodbye.
Are you ready to live the full contact life? Visit www.switchoncoach.com. From there, you will be able to connect with Team Switch On and get access to the free tools and resources we have waiting there for you. Follow Team Switch On Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more. So until next time.